Have you ever had any of these thoughts? Have I confessed the word enough to get my healing? Should I speak to the mountain once and ignore it, or should I speak to it several times? If I do that, am I still in faith? Have I done too much binding and not enough loosing? Should I just be praising God for my answer now, or should I still be speaking to the problem? Am I saying and doing everything right? And we can start getting fixated on a formula to get something from God. But we have to remember that we are not fighting for victory, we are fighting from victory. And God's given us everything that we need to maintain our position of victory. Hello and welcome to Faith Talks. I'm your host, Emily Preston, and in these podcasts, we will be discussing how to practically apply the principles found in the Word, or how to be a doer of the Word, so that you can start seeing more of the manifestation of God's grace in every area of your life. Everybody, and welcome back to Faith Talks, where we learn how to walk by faith through grace. Today is part three of my new series, Remember Your Position. Remember Your Position. Over the last 2 weeks, we have been talking about our position in Christ and how the fight of faith is not trying to get victory over the circumstances. God has already given us the victory through Jesus over our circumstances. We are simply using all of the spiritual weapons that He has given us to maintain our position of victory over our circumstances. And we have been discussing where and what our position is. The fact that God has already seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are already seated in a position far above anything that would try to steal, kill, or destroy from us. We have already been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. We already have all the health, all the prosperity, all the peace, all the wisdom, all the joy. Everything that we need to live a good life and a godly life has already been given to us, but it comes through knowing this, through finding this out and acting on that knowledge. We also talked about how those who have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness are to reign in life as kings through one Jesus Christ. And that's from that scripture in Romans 5 verse 17. And we talked all about what a king does, what the secular definition of a king is, but it also lines up with a spiritual definition of how a king should reign. So if you haven't listened to the last two episodes, I really encourage you to do so, because that has laid the foundation for what we're going to talk about next. And today we're going to talk about how we become fully persuaded of our position. So this is the key, guys. The key is to become fully persuaded of your position in Christ. Remember, we've already talked about what our position is and where that position is. Now we have to come to the point where nothing can talk us out of it. Nothing can talk us out of a full assurance of our position in Jesus, where that is, and what comes along with that position. So, how do we become fully persuaded of our position so that we never let anything talk us out of it ever again? Well, the most important thing that we can do as born-again Christians is renew our minds to who we are in Christ and our position, which is seated with Him. Remember that scripture in Hosea 4 verse 6 that says that my people perish through lack of knowledge? Well, the key to not perishing is to get some knowledge, to get knowledge and then act on that knowledge and be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. So we have to renew our minds. We have to get knowledge of who we are in Christ and embed it in our minds so that, again, nothing can talk us out of it. Romans 12 verse 2 tells us to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So do not be conformed to this world, or do not be patterned to the world's way of thinking that you just have to accept sickness and disease and poverty and depression. It's all just part of life. Do not be conformed to that way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean? What does renew your mind mean? Renew literally means a renovation process. So if you have ever renovated a house, or you know of someone who's renovated a house, you have pulled down the old, out-of-date walls or kitchen or bathroom. You've pulled it all out and you've renovated it. You have removed all the old parts of that house and you have replaced it with brand new modern appliances and fixtures and colors and all of those kind of things. That's called a renovation. And when we renew our mind, we are literally renovating our mind. We are pulling out all of the old carnal ways of thinking, the old crumbling thoughts and mindsets that we might have about ourselves. We are removing and renovating the sick, defeated, lack, depressed, suffering mindsets, and we are completely renovating our minds to see ourselves as brand new creatures in Christ, seeing ourselves as God sees us, and thinking of ourselves the way that God sees us, which is the real us. So the result of a renewed mind is that we will be transformed. Transformed how and what? What does transformed mean? That word transformed is the Greek word metamorpho, which is the word we get metamorphosis from. And you may or may not know that metamorphosis is the process that a caterpillar goes through to turn into a butterfly. So if you've ever seen a caterpillar go and form a cocoon around itself, the caterpillar goes into that cocoon and a transformation process takes place, which is called metamorphosis. It ceases to be the form of a caterpillar and it emerges in a completely new form, which is that of a butterfly. So metamorphosis, or metamorpho, means to change into another form. When we renew or renovate our minds, we go through metamorphosis, or we go through a transformation process, and we change from being sick, diseased, fearful, lacking, anxious, suffering people into a completely new form, which is healed, whole, preserved, nothing missing, nothing broken, that are the very embodiment of the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So just to reverse engineer what I've just said, God's will is that we be perfect, complete, lacking nothing, that we be healed, we be whole, we be prosperous, we be well, nothing missing, nothing broken. Okay, that's his perfect will. But the way we transform ourselves into that perfect will is through a mind renovation, through renewing our mind. And the way we renew or renovate our minds is with the word of God. Remember that God tells us that his word is like a mirror, and we have to look into the mirror of the word of God constantly and see ourselves as God sees us and remind ourselves of how God sees us. And then we have to agree with how God sees us. And that's how we renew our mind. And the way we agree with how God sees us is to speak the word of God, or confess the word of God, because that word confess is the Greek word homologio, which simply means to agree with God. So when we confess the word of God, we are agreeing with God. We are saying, yes, I agree with everything that you say about me, everything that you have put in the word of God that tells me who I am and what I have. I agree with that. And because I agree with that, I'm going to say that I agree with that, or confess the word of God. And 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13 says that if we believe the word, we will speak the word. So again, it's all very well to believe what God says about us, but we have to apply corresponding action to that belief, and that is to speak the word of God. So if we see in the word that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed, Our part now is to agree with that word and say or confess, by his stripes I was healed. And as we confess this word, we are renovating our minds. We are pulling down the old ways of thinking, the old way of seeing ourselves as sick, seeing ourselves as diseased, seeing ourselves as in pain. And we are completely doing a mind transformation to seeing ourselves as healed, to seeing ourselves as the real us, which is healed by the stripes of Jesus. So by confessing the word of God, which is literally agreeing with the word of God and everything it says about us, and aligning our words with God's words, we are literally being transformed into what those words say about us. And by the way, we don't know how that transformation process takes place. All we know is that if we do what the word says to do, then we will get the results the word says that we will have. We don't know. There is actually no scientific explanation for how a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. People have opened cocoons to have a look inside and see what's going on, to see if there's like a half transition form between a caterpillar and a butterfly. But do you know that there's no transitional form in that cocoon? It's not like the caterpillar starts to sprout little buds for wings. It actually ceases to be a caterpillar and it emerges a butterfly. And there's no indication of how that process takes place. It just does. And it's the same with the Word of God. When we renew our minds with the Word of God, we may not see a transitional process take place, but we can know that we will be transformed into the very image of what the Word says about us, because that's what God says it will do. He says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I'd like to give you an example of a transformation process that took place in a family member of mine who was resisting depression. And she had had a baby and she battled with severe depression after this baby was born, to the point where she couldn't really function because the depression was just so debilitating. And what happened is she didn't actually know all of the principles that we've just talked about. She didn't know about her position in Christ. She didn't know about any of those things, but she knew that the Word of God had power when she confessed it or when she spoke it. So she decided to learn Psalm chapter 1. And you may be familiar with Psalm chapter 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the paths of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree that is planted by streams of water, that brings forth fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers." So she decided to learn that passage from Psalm chapter 1. And what she did is she just spoke it over and over and over and over and over, because she wanted to learn it. So she spoke it over and over in order to learn it. And she said that in the learning of that passage, the depression lifted off her like a cloud. And see, what she was doing is she was renovating her mind with the Word of God. She was renovating her mind to the fact that she was blessed because she did not walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the paths of sinners and all of those things that that passage describes. And she was transformed from a person who was battling depression, from a depressed person who could barely function, to a person who was completely free from depression and never had to deal with it ever again. So she didn't know how that transformation process took place. All she did was apply the principles of mind renewal without even really knowing what she was doing, and she got the results. Okay, so she didn't even have to really know what she was doing. She just did the word. She spoke the word, and the word did the work in her. So this is very important, guys. I need to really emphasize this. Sometimes we can confess the word out of a place of fear, and we think to ourselves, if I confess this 168 times today, then I'll get what I need from God. And we can confess the word out of a place of fear because we're trying to get victory. We're trying to get something from God. But we have to remember that we don't confess the word trying to get something from God. He's not rewarding us with healing because we've confessed the word 625 times. We confess the word of God because it is our mirror. And we have to continually look into the word of God every day, keep it in front of our eyes, keep it going in our ears, and most importantly, continually speaking it out of our mouth. And the reason for that is so that we are continually renewing our mind and reminding ourselves of who we already are in Christ and what we already have through the finished works of Jesus. Because mind renewal is a lifetime process. It's not a one-time event. You can't just renew your mind and then it's done. It's a continuous process. Why is that? Because the thoughts of doubt and unbelief, the circumstances, the external things going on are going to be speaking to you constantly, trying to talk you out of your position of victory. But we look into the mirror of the word. We continually renew our mind to how God sees us and who we are and our position in Christ to remind ourselves of our position of victory, to remind ourselves of who we are. To remind ourselves of everything that God has given us by His grace. And so when something shows up to challenge our position, our first response will be a faith response. So again, the way that we become fully persuaded of our position of victory, our position of knowing who we are in Christ and what we have, is to look into the mirror of the word every single day and go to your scriptures concerning your authority, concerning your position, and look at yourself in the word of God and confess, declare with your mouth, I have been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means harms me. I have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever I bind on earth has been bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. God has raised me up and seated me in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named. And all things have been put in subjection under my feet, because I am the body of Christ and I am joint heirs with Jesus. I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And you look into the mirror of the word where it shows you your authority, where it shows you who you are and your position of authority, and you remind yourself, you renew your mind and remind yourself of everything that God has given you concerning your authority. And then you can go to the word and look in the mirror of your healing and see yourself as healed by confessing the word and saying, I have been redeemed from the curse of sickness and disease. I walk in divine health because Jesus bore every sickness and carried every disease. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I was healed. The Lord sent his word and healed me. I am delivered from destruction. The Lord has restored health to me and healed me of all my wounds. I declare that I live and I do not die. I proclaim the works of the Lord. Jesus bore my sins in his body on the tree so that I might die to sin and live for righteousness, and by his wounds I am healed. I give attention to God's word. I incline my ears to his sayings. I do not let them depart from my eyes. I keep them in the midst of my heart. His words are life to me because I have found them, and they are health, nourishment, and medicine to all my flesh. And so what you're doing when you do that is you are looking into the mirror of the word and you are reminding yourself that you have authority. You're reminding yourself that you are healed. You're reminding yourself that all your needs are met. You're reminding yourself that your children have great peace and that they hear the voice of the good shepherd only. You're reminding yourself that you have all of the wisdom, the joy, the peace, the direction that you need. And as you do this, as you confess the word and as you speak that over yourself, you are renewing or renovating your minds with the Word of God, and then a transformation process is also taking place. The benefit of that is that you are transformed into the very image of those things that you are saying about yourself. And again, it's not that you're trying to get those things. You already have those things, but you are reminding yourself of the fact that you have them so that nothing can talk you out of it. So when thoughts come to you, you're not really healed, feel that symptom. Your immediate response will be, no, I am healed because I've been looking in the mirror of the Word and my mind is renewed and I know that I am healed and you can't talk me out of my healing. And see, it becomes your faith response. Think of it like a plastic water bottle. I don't know if you've ever sucked all the air out of a plastic water bottle, but or crushed it. If you get an empty plastic water bottle and you put pressure on it, you can crush it. You can crush it down to barely anything and it will bend and fold to the pressure that you apply to it because there's nothing inside of it. But if you get that same water bottle and you fill it up with water and put the lid on it, it is extremely hard to crush it. You could squeeze it, you could jump on it, but it's almost impossible to crush that water bottle because it's full of water, which is giving opposite pressure to the pressure that you are placing on it. And it's the same with us. When we stay topped up with the Word of God constantly, when we fill our eyes and our ears and our mouth and our hearts with the Word of God constantly, when the pressure shows up, we won't crumple and we won't give in because what's inside of us is providing equal or even greater pressure and opposition to what's trying to crush us. And see, this can't be a once in a while thing that we do. Keeping ourselves full of the Word of God has to be a daily process. It has to be a daily habit. You know, you take a shower every day, I hope, and you look into a natural mirror every day. And the same way, we have to wash ourselves with the water of the Word of God, wash out those old dirty ways of thinking, those old thoughts that try and sneak back in. We have to wash them out every day and we have to remind ourselves of what God says about us. The symptoms and the thoughts, the lies and the suggestions from the enemy will try to talk us out of our victory every single day. And we have to be confessing the Word every day to be full of the Word and constantly remind ourselves of who we really are so that we will recognize the things that show up to talk us out of it immediately and we won't cave into the external pressure to give in. Okay, so I hope all of that makes sense. So again, the way we become fully persuaded of our position of victory, of healed, of prosperous, of blessed, is to look into the mirror of the Word of God every day, to remind ourselves of who we are, to renew our minds with the Word of God, to confess the Word of God and agree with God every single day and fill ourselves up to the brim with the Word of God so that we become fully persuaded of our position. Okay, so now what we're going to talk about is how we maintain our position. So that's the very first thing that's important is to become fully persuaded of your position. And now we're going to talk about how to maintain our position, all of the things that God has given us to maintain our position of victory over the things that would come to try and talk us out of it. Remember how in the last couple of episodes we've talked about the examples of you being a homeowner and you defending your house against an intruder. And we talked about a king defending his castle. And just like a homeowner defending their house or a king defending his castle, God has given us powerful spiritual weapons to defend and maintain our position of victory. So the first one that I want to talk about is the blood of Jesus. Now, all of these things I'm going to mention, these spiritual weapons, they're not in order of importance. There's no hierarchy of importance. I'm just going to mention all of them, but they are all equally as powerful and effective in maintaining our position as any of the other ones. So the first one is the blood of Jesus. We've already gone over what happened when Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood. He paid the price for our redemption from sin. Therefore, the consequences of sin, which are sickness, poverty, lack, depression, etc., they have been dealt with. they have been dealt with once and for all, because sin was dealt with once and for all. And then when Jesus shed his blood at the cross, when he died and was raised up, we were raised up with him and seated together with him at the right hand of the Father, and everything was put in subjection under our feet. We were given authority to trample on all of the power of the enemy. So that's what happened when Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood. So now, how do we use the blood of Jesus to maintain our position? Let's look at Revelation 12, verse 10 and 11. This verse says, "For the accuser of the brethren, who accuses before our God day and night, has been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." Okay, so the accuser of the brethren, who's the devil, who accuses before our God day and night, has been cast down. They, it's talking about we, overcome him, overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The CJB version of this verse says, "They defeated him because of the Lamb's blood and because of the message of their witness." Okay, so let's talk about this. What is the word of our testimony, or the message of our witness? A testimony or a message of witness is a formal statement or evidence given of something that took place. For example, if you've ever seen a courtroom drama or anything that takes place in a court of law, a witness will give testimony in a court of law about something they have seen or heard. And this statement or this testimony is used as evidence to convict or acquit the accused. Okay, so Jesus shed his blood and purchased our salvation, our healing, and all of those things, and placed us in a position of authority over the devil. So he has been cast down. Remember, we've been seated with Jesus, far above principalities, powers, and all of those things. But now we overcome, and that word overcome means to subdue, to prevail over, or to conquer the devil. When he tries to steal, kill, or destroy from us, when he tries to talk us out of our position of victory, how? Because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's our statement. It's the message of our witness. It's our evidence about what the blood of Jesus paid for. So if sickness or disease show up trying to talk you out of your position of healed and whole, you remind yourself and it that the blood of Jesus paid for your healing. If death shows up, you remind yourself and it that the blood of Jesus paid for us to have a long, satisfying life. If depression, anxiety, or fear show up, we remind ourselves and it that the blood of Jesus paid for our peace. If pandemics, weather disasters, terror, danger, or anything else that's there to steal, kill, and destroy show up, we remind ourselves and it that the blood of Jesus paid for our protection. So no matter what it is, if it isn't life in abundance to the full until it overflows, we don't have to tolerate it because the blood of Jesus paid for it. And we are simply giving evidence, we're giving a witness statement, we're giving a testimony to that thing of what the blood of Jesus paid for and what the blood of Jesus accomplished for us. Some people call this pleading the blood. They say, "I plead the blood of Jesus over my children. I plead the blood of Jesus over our house. I plead the blood of Jesus over my body." And there's nothing wrong with saying that. It's still the meaning behind it. It's the intention behind it. It's our testimony about what the blood of Jesus accomplished for us, and that's how we overcome the devil. We overcome by the shed blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony about what the blood accomplished. I have heard some people teach that we don't have to plead the blood because the name of Jesus is sufficient to get the job done. Now, I agree with that. That's true. However, Again, it's not whether we're saying or doing everything exactly right. If someone believes because they plead the blood of Jesus that nothing can touch them and no evil can befall them because they plead the blood of Jesus over their family or over themselves, then that's enough to get the job done. That's enough to keep the enemy away because they are convinced, they are fully persuaded of their position in Christ because of the blood of Jesus. So again, it's not the formula, it's the position that we're coming from. And the blood of Jesus is simply one of the ways that we can remind the devil, remind the symptoms, remind the circumstances of our position in Christ. The name of Jesus is enough. It is enough to maintain our position. But again, remember, it's not whether we're saying or doing everything the exact right way. It's the position we're coming from. And by the way, without the blood of Jesus being shed to pay for our salvation, we wouldn't even be able to use the name of Jesus because it's the blood of Jesus that our authority stems from. And that is why we take communion. Jesus said to do this in remembrance of me, to take the juice and the bread and eat them and drink them in remembrance of what he accomplished with his body and his blood. We have to constantly remind ourselves of what the shed blood of Jesus and the broken body of Jesus accomplished for us so that, again, we will never let anything talk us out of it. So it's not that pleading the blood of Jesus is more or less powerful than using the name of Jesus or any of the other spiritual weapons God has given us. It's not the formula. I can't emphasize that enough. It's not the formula. It's about knowing our position of authority and dominion and victory over anything that would try to steal, kill, or destroy from us. And that is what the blood of Jesus accomplished. Many years ago, my mum stepped on a piece of wood that had a rusty nail sticking out of it. And, you know, I'm sure you're all aware of what stepping on rusty nails can do. So her first thought was, oh, I should probably go and get a tetanus shot. And then her second thought was, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And she decided to hold on to that second thought. The next day, her foot was so painful and swollen that she couldn't put it down on the floor. She couldn't put any weight on it. But still, she decided to hold on to no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And she enforced her position of healing with the word of God. And she said, no, the blood of Jesus paid for my healing. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Every time she felt the pain of it, which was pretty constant, she just kept saying, no, I was healed at the cross. No, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And she was reminding herself of what the blood of Jesus accomplished. No, I was healed at the cross. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And within a short amount of time, the foot was completely healed and she never had to go to the doctors or get a tetanus shot. Now again, she wasn't applying any formula to those confessions. She wasn't applying any formula of, well, if I confess the word of God 600 times, if I use the name of Jesus, then I'll get healed, or maybe I should use the blood of Jesus. There was no formula involved in it. All she knew was that Jesus healed her at the cross. By the stripes of Jesus, she was healed. And she decided to stand on that and talk back to it every time it spoke to her. And she maintained her position of healing. And she wasn't going to let standing on that rusty nail talk her out of her position. Okay, so again, it's not the formula, it's our position. It's remembering and maintaining our position. Okay, that's all we have time for today. Next time, we're going to talk about more of the spiritual weapons that God has given us to maintain our position of victory over the enemy. So I hope you're being encouraged and blessed by what we're talking about so far. Join me again next week for the continuation of this lesson. God bless you. Thank you so much for being part of today's episode of Faith Talks. If you have any questions related to today's or any of my previous episodes, if you have a testimony you would like to share, or for a free copy of Confessions for Life, please email me at questions@faithtalks.com.au. For episode announcements and regular encouragement, you can now find Faith Talks with Emily Preston on Facebook and Instagram. Finally, if you know anyone who would benefit from today's or any of my previous teachings, please share this podcast with them and help them receive revelation of the truth that will make them free. Until next time, know that I am praying for you, and don't forget to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, and you will be blessed in everything that you do. God bless you.